Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, let me tell you guys that PFF has you covered all season long with the best data, tools, and analysis in the game. Sign up for PFF Plus today to unlock all of their famous player grades and premium stats. No matter what you're looking for, PFF Plus has what you need to make winning decisions all season long. You can sign up for PFF Plus today for less than $10 a month. Let's go to Dalton Wasserman. He is a data analyst over at PFF. Let's go through some of the recent moves in the National Football League. Dalton, how you doing today, my man?
Fantastic. Another good week of football in the books. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Let's just start with this. What was your reaction to the trade that sends Deontay Johnson to Baltimore?
I think it's a good move for them. I think one of the things that I questioned about them coming into the year was just their depth at wide receiver, right? You had Zay Flowers, who's a really good second-year player, but Rashad Bateman's had kind of a rocky start to his career, and they're really kind of tight end-centric in the passing game. So I think if nothing else, it gives them another option, especially late in games, even, you know, if there's a game in the playoffs where they fall behind. I think Johnson's another guy they can rely on.
I thought they were going to make a move at corner or pass rush. I am a little bit surprised when I saw the news today that Deontay Johnson got traded. I assumed it was going to be a more wide receiver needy team. I am a little bit surprised that the Ravens got him, given that that's not one of their biggest needs right now.
No, but I think they know at this point that if they're going to win the whole thing, they're going to win it with their offense, right? They've already been playing at an elite level. And, you know, if their defense, if they can patch it together and just be solid enough in coverage come the end of the season, then this offense and Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry and now another weapon, that's what's going to carry them to a Super Bowl. I kind of get it. You know, work to your strengths and see what you can do on offense and see if you can just get in the playoffs and outscore everybody this time.
Which one of the trades do you think is a better in terms of the compensation? We'll get to fit here in a bit. But which of these trades do you think actually from a compensation standpoint is the best trade? Do you think it's the Amari Cooper trade, DeAndre Hopkins, or Deontay Johnson?
Honestly, man, they're all pretty good, honestly. I mean, and I know the Bills, I really like the fit with Amari Cooper and the Bills, you know, along with the compensation. They didn't give up a whole lot to get him, right? And I think he's a guy that gives them a chance for somebody to win man-to-man, right? A guy that they were missing with Stephon Diggs once they traded Stephon Diggs. For the value of it, I think of those three, I think Cooper will have the most impact on the Bills, but I think they're all three pretty fair trades.
Right now, we're talking to Dalton Wasserman of PFF going through some of the recent moves in the National Football League. All right, let's get to the Kansas City Chiefs. I like the fit for DeAndre Hopkins in Kansas City. His usage wasn't very high in week one, but there's a lot of time to get there. What did you see from him in week one? What do you think his role is going to be as it expands over the course of the upcoming weeks?
I think his role, like similar to Cooper in Buffalo, he's a guy who can win one-on-one, and he can do maybe not all of the things that Rashee Rice could do before he could get hurt, because he was a really young separator who was getting really good at the game at the NFL level. But Hopkins can give him a one-on-one option while the Chiefs have all those other movable pieces and all the stuff that Andy Reid does with his play calls. He's a guy who can line up one-on-one. He's a savvy veteran route runner who just knows how to get open, right? He's not as explosive as he used to be, but he knows what he's doing out there. He has the confidence to separate one-on-one against any corner in the league, and I think that's going to be a big asset to their offense when you talk about just times when you need, you know what, we just need to go to this one guy. We know he's going to get open where we need him to be. And I think as the season goes on, as he gets more into the playbook, he's going to be really helpful for them.
I am curious with you guys' data, when do you start to notice a decline with the player, and what do you start to notice? Because you mentioned it, that D-Hop is not the same player that he was. I don't think anyone expects him to be that at 32 years old. But when you start to see a drop in guys' performances, what are usually the signs that this player is declining?
I think there's three things you look for, right? And it's kind of, it's one, it's explosiveness, right? And guys just, you know, as they get older, they're not as explosive as they used to be. Two is separation before the catch, right? How good, how often are you getting separation? How often are you getting open in these routes? And the third one is when you start seeing after the catch a decline in things like, you know, missed tackles forced or yards after the catch. And so I think there's really elements to all three of them, you know, especially before and after the catch. You can see different signs in different spots on the field, and some guys have certain attributes that last longer than others. I think Hopkins, really, especially before the catch, is still really, really good. Just doesn't give you quite as much with the ball in his hands like he used to.
What would you classify as reasonable expectations for D-Hop as we get closer to the postseason? Or is this just a move that you really can't evaluate until we get to January and Kansas City starts playing in those important games?
Yeah, I mean, see, here's the thing. The AFC West title is a foregone conclusion, right? We already know they're going to win the division. They're going to be at least the top three seed in the conference, if not number one. They're already what, 7-0 so far this season. So it's really a move that's meant for January, and that's how we evaluate the Chiefs nowadays, right? It's just how far they get in the playoffs, because we know they're getting there. So I think they gave themselves enough time for Hopkins to get in the playbook, to adjust, and we can really judge those moves come the playoff games, because whether they had them or not, they were going to win this division. So we'll judge them as we do every year with the Chiefs on whether or not they win a Super Bowl with them.
When you're looking at Kansas City, and we're talking to Dalton Wasserman of PFF, do you think they're more needy at corner? Do you think they're more needy at wide receiver? Or do you think it's at left tackle?
I would say probably at wide receiver. I mean, it's. I think the offensive line is so good on the interior that you really look at them and you go, you know, they're good enough, and Patrick Mahomes knows how to get rid of the football. But no, those weapons on the outside, you need guys who can separate. And the Rashee Rice injury, that put a big dent in their offense, I think. I think you're talking about a team that lost its best separator on the outside, a guy who's really emerging as a one-on-one threat. So I think receiver was the biggest need.
We were looking at Darius Slayton as being a possibility. Do you think he's a good fit in Kansas City, or is there someone else that could possibly be available that you think Kansas City should possibly target?
It seems, Slayton's a good option. It seems like Hopkins was the guy to go get as that veteran separator, right? Andy Reid loves his good route runners, and Hopkins is a really, really good one. I think they're probably going to stand pat at this point. I mean, they got Juju Smith-Schuster back. Now you got Hopkins. They're developing Xavier Worthy. So I would say the most likely outcome is they're just going to work with their internal options and keep improving that way.
Right now we're talking to PFF's Dalton Wasserman for a couple of more minutes here. One more Chiefs question. I want to move to the Texans and what you think they're going to do now with the Diggs injury. The Chiefs just got Josh Uche, a pass rusher from the New England Patriots. What can you tell us about him? What are his strengths? He's a guy who got 11.5 sacks a couple of seasons ago. He also has some clear weaknesses. What are those?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have is a guy who's really athletic but doesn't always play the most fundamentally sound football, and maybe not the strongest run defender. But what you're talking about is him going to a situation where he can play to his strengths, especially as most likely a designated sort of pass rusher, right? And Steve Spagnuolo is the best in the business at using guys to their strengths and using guys in situations that help them succeed, right? He already does it with a boatload of players on his defense now. There's rundown guys, there's passing down guys, there's everything in between. There's only a couple of guys really who play every single snap for them, right? When you talk about a Chris Jones or a Trent McDuffie. But I think you're getting a guy who's an athletic pass rusher who has a previous reputation as being a really good pass rusher off the edge, and a guy who can help, especially on those third downs, just give a little bit of extra juice off the edge and get another blocker, maybe a little more attention away from Chris Jones.
Injuries have really become a theme of this season. Kansas City is pretty banged up right now. San Francisco's been banged up for most of the season. Houston is starting to be the latest team that is starting to take on injuries. Nico Collins is dealing with an injury right now, and they just lost Diggs for the remainder of the season with an ACL injury. Are you still considering Houston to be one of those contending teams in the AFC, or have these injuries removed them from that conversation?
I think they're still in it, but the couple of concerns I have, one is obviously those receiver injuries you just mentioned, and they really need Nico Collins back healthy now as soon as possible, because when he was playing like arguably the best receiver in football. But the weapons are an issue, and I actually, you know, just as a matchup thing, even with a team like Kansas City, because when you're talking about the AFC, the real question is, okay, who is equipped to beat the Chiefs? And the other problem I have with the Texans right now is their interior of their offensive line. I really don't know how they have an answer to Chris Jones right now with the way their interior unit's struggling. So I think the Texans can get in that mix. I do think they're one of the three or four best teams, but make no mistake, the Diggs injury, that really hurts them, because now that was the one that, you know, along with Joe Mixon, that was the big addition to the offense that really made them possibly an elite unit, and him being done for the year and Collins still being hurt, those are big losses.
We're always asking this question here. Who do you see as the biggest contender to Kansas City? Do you think it's Baltimore or Buffalo?
I think it's Baltimore. Buffalo, I don't know that I trust their defense still in big spots, and I know they've been better lately, but they just kind of have that thing against the Chiefs where their defense just doesn't perform head-to-head. Baltimore, you look at adding Johnson, obviously adding Derrick Henry in the offseason. I think they just have a few more answers, and if their defense can figure it out a little bit better than they have lately, I think the Ravens are the biggest threat.
That is Dalton Wasserman joining us on the show today. He is with PFF. He is a data analyst. Be sure to sign up for PFF Plus to get the most out of the football season. Dalton, great stuff, man. We appreciate the insight.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Take care, man. That is Dalton Wasserman joining us on the show. Let's react to what he had to say coming up on the other side. I like what he had to say about Uche and the kind of player that he is. And it just continues. Everything I've heard about Uche and what his expectations are just really make me more excited about this trade. And I want to give you guys a stat on Xavier Worthy. That's all coming up. Keep right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, you know what? Let's talk about Josh Uche before I give you this Xavier Worthy stat, because I don't know how you guys are going to handle the Xavier Worthy stat. Rob, everything that we've heard about Josh Uche is a really, really encouraging sign. And I will say, and I want to give you guys credit, I got to give credit where credit is due. If the text line was a real person, I would daft the text line up right now. You guys have been very realistic about Joshua Uche. You really have been. Usually when a guy has shown a little bit of something in the past and then the Chiefs get him, you guys go crazy. Now, he has had a double-digit sack season in his career at 11 and a half sacks. But I will say this. You guys are going into this with the right mindset for this. I'm a little surprised. Maybe you guys are growing up a little bit. You know what that's called? It's called growth. I'll give you guys that. I haven't seen too much unrealistic expectations on the text line. I think you guys know what it is. You know this is a lotto ticket, and you know that the Chiefs are taking a gamble. You know what? Let me go and dap you guys up here. I'm proud of you guys. Bill Belichick likes the move.
I mean, look, Pat, how many players in the sixth round in 25 do you think are really going to help the Kansas City Chiefs win? I don't know. I wouldn't say there's probably a long list of them. Could Uche help him win this year? Absolutely. How many players in the fifth round next year are going to help Kansas City win? I don't know. Be lucky if the guy makes the team. I mean, the Chiefs have a pretty good team. Can Hopkins help him win? Sure. Like, those trades don't really amount to much of anything in the big picture. If you want a fifth back, I'm sure they can move back in the first or second round and get a fifth, or probably get five or six of them if they really want fifth round picks. But I think what they need are players that will impact the game and help them, you know, address their depth in different areas. And I think they've done a great job of that.
Bill, that's exactly what I think. I think this was a move to address their depth. Not every move needs to be a home run swing. Not every meal you have is a five-star meal. Sometimes you're just hungry and you need something to hold you over until you get to dinner. That's what I look at this move. This isn't a long-term answer or solution for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is we have an immediate need. It doesn't cost really anything for us to go meet this need. Let's go get them. And if it works, great. If it doesn't work, okay. That's fine. This is the best situation for Joshua Uche to come into. We didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about that yesterday. This is the perfect situation to come into. You're a mid-round pick, you're a second-round pick. You failed to meet expectations at your old job. You now get traded to a team that has some expectations, but there are no expectations on you. Maybe we never talk about Joshua Uche again. Maybe he ends up being a serious player for this team and balls out the rest of the year and goes off and he gets a good contract. That's a great scenario. You know, the best case scenario is Josh Uche has a good rest of his season and he goes to play next year with the Cleveland Browns or the Miami Dolphins, or he plays so well that you want to bring him back as a 26-year-old who still has something left in the tank. So again, text line, I want to give you guys credit. I'm not saying this jokingly. I am not saying this with any hyperbole. I don't say this tongue in cheek. You guys are handling the Josh Uche trade appropriately. Now, this is the thing that you're not handling well. There's a balance. There's always a yin and a yang. It's always right around the corner. I got to build you up to now I have to tear you down here a little bit. The one thing I don't understand about social media, because I know we say that Twitter is not real and social media is not real, but for the most part, the people that are using them are real people, is we know that context and nuance exist in real life, but somehow on our phones and computer screens, it doesn't exist. It's very, very odd to me. Like, we know that two things can be true. There doesn't always have to be a winner and a loser in a trade. Both teams can win. You and your wife can both be right in the argument for very different reasons. Like, we know that this exists, that the world is not black and white. It is very much in color. It is possible. I know it's possible that Xavier Worthy is not living up to all of the expectations and still perfectly fine. Like, I think both of those things are true when it comes to Xavier Worthy. I'll give you a stat here. I looked this up because I was curious. Rob, I have not told you this. Out of the last 20 times that the Chiefs have thrown Xavier Worthy the ball, how many yards do you think he has in those attempts? So these are targets. Out of the last 20 times that the Chiefs have dropped back and passed the ball to Xavier Worthy, how many yards do you think they've gained in those 20 attempts?
He's a big play guy, so you got to think the thought process is he hits one, but you're not asking me if it's a big number. So I'm going to say it's like 185.
91 yards.
Yikes.
The Chiefs have 91 yards the last 20 times they have thrown it in Xavier Worthy's direction. Now, I am not mad at Xavier Worthy for that being the case. I'm really not mad at it. He is currently being placed into a role that he is not ready for. Xavier Worthy is not supposed to be a high-volume guy. He had 8 targets last week. He had 8 targets the week before that. He is not a high-volume kind of guy at this point in his career. Now, can he become a high-volume guy? Can he be that in 5 weeks, 6 weeks, next year? Absolutely. We all can point to examples of how Chiefs players have grown and matured. Recent examples. Tyreek Hill is one of them. Rashee Rice is one of them. Absolutely. This is not me telling you that I think he's a bust or a bum or any of these kind of things. But right now, the Chiefs are asking Xavier Worthy to do something that he is currently not ready to do. You have put him in a situation that right now, he just ain't ready. He's not going to do a lot right now with the opportunities that they are trying to give him. And that's why I think you're really excited about DeAndre Hopkins, because you know what I want to do? I want to take some of the responsibility off Xavier Worthy's plate, and I want to try to focus in more on the things that he is doing really well. I think he has been exactly what the Chiefs need him to be in some other areas. He has 5 touchdowns so far in their first 7 games. He has been a big play guy, a jet sweep guy, gadget player. He had the big catch down the field against the Los Angeles Chargers. Xavier Worthy has some really good positives. But I think it's also safe to say that he and Patrick Mahomes, at least when it comes to simpatico and finding that rhythm and being on the same page, they are not close right now. I would say that he is as far away with Xavier Worthy as it feels like he was at times with Mecole Hardman. And you remember, that was a big criticism early on in Mecole Hardman's career, that he and Patrick were not on the same page. That's what it feels like at times with Xavier Worthy. A lot of the miscommunication that Pat has with his wide receivers, Xavier Worthy is usually in the middle of that miscommunication. So this is me telling you that there is a problem, but it's also fine. That the Chiefs are, I think, overusing one of their wide receivers at this point, but there is a solution. You would expect that they're going to throw it more to D-Hop more than 3 times than he got in the last game, and that his usage is about to increase. You're also expecting them to get Isaiah Pacheco back pretty soon here. So they could have 2 really dynamic running backs. That's a really good thunder and lightning. And you can take some of the load off of Kareem Hunt, who is getting a lot of touches and a lot of usage here. But at least right now, throwing the ball to Xavier Worthy as much as they are has not really resulted in a lot of good things and positivity for the Kansas City Chiefs. I would like to see them get Noah Gray a little bit more involved in the offense. I want to see Justin Watson get more targets the way that he did on Sunday. I'm actually all for the Chiefs until they get DeAndre Hopkins all squared away. I am for them spreading it out a little bit more and trying to use more of their weapons, because at times it felt like they were trying to force feed Xavier Worthy. And if you got less than 100 yards the last 20 times we have tried to throw you the football, I don't know if you are a guy that's worthy of a high volume right now.
I understand what you're saying, Carrington, and I agree that he's being forced into a high-volume role, and he's not equipped for the high-volume role. But I think you're being a little bit, just a dash, of a Chiefs apologist here, because we have seen wide receivers with the same skill set and the same issues that Xavier Worthy is having with Patrick Mahomes, and we didn't say things like, it's all right, they'll figure it out, it's just the role. We were hard on those players. You mentioned it there. That first training camp, Mecole Hardman stopped on a go route up in St. Joe. And Mahomes, it was a social media viral clip. He was yelling at him, run, run, run. From that moment on, Chiefs fans judged Mecole Hardman harshly. And when he was viewed as jet sweep, gadget player, just speed guy, the thought was always, that's not enough for what we got in his draft position. Kadarius Toney. They traded a day 2 pick to bring Toney in. He and Mahomes never seemed to gel. And he was then labeled jet sweep gadget play guy. And the punt return notwithstanding, most fans look back at the Kadarius Toney era and think that was not a success. So I get the sample size, but early going, it's looking more Hardman-Tony-ish, and we are hard on those as mistakes, and this was a first-round pick they traded up to make.
Yeah, but this is where I think we're being a little bit fair. Maybe just playing devil's advocate, that's perfectly fine, right? Like, coming into this season, we expected Xavier Worthy to be their fourth option on offense, right? He was going to be behind Isaiah Pacheco. He was going to have more yards than Xavier Worthy is. We knew that he was behind Travis Kelce. He was behind Rashee Rice, and he's behind Hollywood Brown. So we thought he was, at best, the fifth option that they had in their offense. Now we're basing it off he's their third option in this offense? That's not right. You and I both thought coming into the season he was going to be a 650-yard guy. You didn't hear a lot of sentiment that this year that Xavier Worthy was going to be an 850, 900, maybe a 1,000-yard guy. I would say that he's pretty much in line to be what we thought he was going to be. It just stands out more because there are so many more opportunities that are available than we thought they were going to be. It's kind of like in basketball. There's just more shots that are available. If you were throwing the ball 20 times, it felt like, to Rashee Rice, and now those targets have to go somewhere else, they've tried to give some of those targets to Xavier Worthy. I just don't think that he can handle 8 to 10 targets a game at this point in his career. Maybe he'll be able to do that by Christmas. That's just not where he is today.
Let me ask you this, because you're right. This show was very good about this. We had reasonable expectations for Xavier Worthy. We said he's like a 600 to 650 guy back when we thought he was option number 4. He is trending toward 550 this season. Is that a success? Is that good enough? I would say yes because of all the factors you laid out, but I do think if fans are looking at it and saying, hold up, we traded up to get Jet Sweep 500-yard guy, and his volume went up, thus his yard should have gone up with it, like, the amount of injuries notwithstanding, if I had told you after that first preseason game, hey, Hollywood Brown's out for like 90% of the season, you would have probably bumped up your Xavier Worthy stat prediction. You wouldn't have moved it down.
Not by much, though.
Which is what he's trending toward.
Yeah, not by much, though. And again, maybe you and I are just not on the same page, and that's perfectly fine if that's the case here. I just think now, because the number one and number two leading scorers are out, we now think Xavier Worthy is going to average 20 points a game. He ain't a 20-point-per-game guy. That's not who he is now at this stage in his career. Now, I get it. That's what Rashee Rice developed into. Maybe that's not what Xavier Worthy develops into. Just because Rice developed into that, just because Tyreek Hill developed into that, doesn't mean that Xavier Worthy's going to be there. But 8 games in, when his situation has drastically changed, think about the offense that is around him now at this point. So much of it is situational. We thought that he was going to be in an offense that had a vertical down-the-field capability. Well, you were only going to have that if you had Rashee Rice and you had Hollywood Brown on the other side. That's not the offense that they currently have right now. Like, they need him to take on a different role than maybe you thought he was going to have at the very, very beginning of things. So I haven't changed my personal opinion yet on where he is as a player. Someone on the text line says it's a little hard to say that when the guys in front of him have been so good. I think all of these guys were better prospects than Xavier Worthy. Like, literally every receiver that is ahead of him. That's kind of how the draft works. Tell me which of these guys that you thought Xavier Worthy was going to be better than. We didn't think he was going to be better than Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. Romo Dunze's actually been okay. He's been kind of disappointing for a top 10 pick, but it's all so very early on in his career, and that offense got off to a slow start. I never thought he was better than Brian Thomas Jr. than he was the next wide receiver taken. So I just... these other guys are better prospects than he is. He's a late round guy. Sometimes those guys end up being big booms for where they are. Sometimes it takes them a little bit to figure it out. But if we're looking more at those guys that were outside that top, so there was those three receivers that went in the top 10, and Brian Thomas, we thought could be a top 10 pick. Look at the wide receivers that were all picked within 10 picks of where he is. So Xavier Worthy was the 28th pick. Ricky Pearsall was the 31st overall pick. Now, his start of his career was different because of the injury. Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman has not gotten off to a great start in his career.
I mean, Keon Coleman's been better than Xavier Worthy.
A little bit.
No, it's marginal, but it's better's better.
And Ladd McConkey. And Jalen Polk was the 37th overall pick. So, I mean, Xavier Worthy was selected, and there were six wide receivers taken between 28 and 38. Would you now trade Xavier Worthy for any one of these wide receivers? If you could now go back, equipped with the information that we have halfway through his first season, would you go back and would you trade Xavier Worthy for Ricky Pearsall, Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman, Ladd McConkey, or Jalen Polk? Because I wouldn't at this point. There might come a point that I would. I would not today. I would not go back and trade Xavier Worthy for any one of these other guys.
I would not make that trade either. I'm happy with the player they got. I just think because the Chiefs are winning and because everything's hunky-dory, I think we're somewhat holding Xavier Worthy to a different standard than we held other guys with his skill set in this offense. Because I was doing radio in Kansas City when Mecole Hardman got drafted. It was not, hey, rainbows and unicorns, you're on the same page with the quarterback, and you're just a jet sweep, more of a weapon type of guy. We good, though? Be a punt return. That was not how Mecole Hardman was met when he came in. And Mecole Hardman, probably a little bit unfairly, got dinged for being a second-round pick. Fast forward 5 years, we're saying, look, he's better than the other late first-round picks, but he's not getting dinged for being a first-round pick. He's not getting dinged for being those same things. I just want consistency. Maybe not you, but if you were a fan that dinged Mecole Hardman in year one or year two, you have to be dinging Xavier Worthy for the exact same things right now because the player trajectory is very similar. If anything, Hardman in year one may have been better than Worthy in year one.
Yeah, I mean, Hardman was also an offense that had Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill also missed 5 weeks that year, too, with an injury. So it's
they also had Sammy Watkins in a much. I mean, they had prime Travis Kelce on that team. That is not who Xavier Worthy is currently playing with. He is not playing with prime Travis Kelce the way that he was. This is the thing, too, on the text line, because a lot of people are saying some of this is on Patrick Mahomes. The person I would say that I'm probably the biggest apologist for is Patrick Mahomes. I just don't think that the Chiefs' offense is that great around him. I really don't think their offense is that good. The Chiefs have a below-average left tackle situation. They're, as we all love Kareem Hunt, their running back is averaging less than 4 yards a carry. They don't have their number one wide receiver, their number two wide receiver, and their tight end is not who he was 24 months ago. Tell me the other quarterbacks that are doing well in that situation. Because if you tell me who you think the other top 5-8 quarterbacks are in the NFL, their offensive situation is drastically better than what they got Patrick Mahomes playing with. So I'm not here to tell you that I think Mahomes has been perfect by any means. I don't think he has been perfect. Put Patrick Mahomes in the offense that Jared Goff has, where you give him two top 12 running backs in the NFL, you give him Amon-Ra St. Brown, you give him Sam Laporta, you give him Jameson Williams, and you give him Josh Reynolds. Patrick Mahomes would win MVP this year if that was the case, and all their games are indoors. The Rams haven't played outside yet so far this year. Put me in that situation. Give Patrick Mahomes what Kirk Cousins has in Atlanta. Give me one of those situations. So, again, I'm not telling you Patrick Mahomes has played perfect. He has certainly made a lot of mistakes. I think we got to factor in right now that the Chiefs quarterback is doing more with less than any top 10 quarterback currently in the NFL, maybe not named Dak Prescott.
I mean,
who really ain't doing a whole lot with less.
We did say before the season Josh Allen was given the least. Now, they've traded for Amari Cooper since then, but Josh Allen doesn't seem to be having the problems that Patrick Mahomes has. I think you said it perfectly. You're a little bit of a Patrick Mahomes apologist, and that's fine. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to turn it on and be a problem for the NFL in the postseason. But it's not lost on me that he is having his worst statistical season on the heels of last year being, before this year, his worst statistical season. The last 24 games of regular season Mahomes we have seen has been the worst version of Mahomes we have seen in Kansas City. Now, it could be weapons. It could be the league catching up to him. It could be there a number of factors. The text line loves to tell me that regular season games don't matter. He could be treating them like the preseason. I don't know the answer, but I'm a little less apologist than you when I say that the last 2 years of Patrick Mahomes have been the worst versions of him we have ever seen.
I don't disagree with you. I would also say that over the course of the last 2 years for any team, we can go through it. I really think that they have given him the worst. Again, I'm Kareem Hunt has been fine this season. Kareem Hunt is averaging 3.7 yards per carry. James Cook is averaging 4.7 yards per carry. Like, the number one running back for the Bills is noticeably better than the number one running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Noticeably better at this point. I just think that a majority of these other teams, they have pretty decent parts around their quarterback at this point that I think the Chiefs are asking Patrick to do something that just no other, and I've been saying this for 2 years. The Chiefs are asking their quarterback to do more with less than any other team in the National Football League. That is not what San Francisco's asking their quarterback to do. That's not what Minnesota's asking their quarterback to do. That's not what Green Bay. That's not what Detroit. No team that you think can actually do something, they are not playing with parts as bad as Patrick Mahomes is playing with parts with right now. And the fact that this team is undefeated and their number one wide receiver is out, their number two wide receiver has not played this season, their starting running back hasn't played in a month this year, is a testament to Mahomes and also how great their coaching staff is and how good their defense is. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
There's been a couple of wide receiver news over the course of the day. The first big news is that Deontay Johnson, he is no longer with the Carolina Panthers. He has been traded. He is now the newest member of the Baltimore Ravens. Here's Nate Taylor on the Deontay Johnson trade.
And I also know, too, that, like, that's why he brought in Todd Monken, right?
Sure,
Some degree. Now, hey, let's not go buck wild. But, I mean, look, he was throwing to, like, Odell Beckham and who was the other receiver? Rashad Bateman?
Yeah, Bateman's still there.
Yeah, I mean, like, those were his second and third options in the AFC Championship game last year, and the Chiefs essentially smothered them. His only receiver that was effective was Zay Flowers, a rookie, and obviously we know his mistakes in that game. So, again, if you're trying to build and this is what I love, honestly, just from an observer, someone who's obviously, been a reporter, been covering the NFL for a decent amount of time, you just want to see relatively smart, competitive moves to elevate the competition. Because there was an argument that last year was the year you should have gotten the Chiefs, i.e. that's the Ravens' right issue. And so to rectify that, you need to do as much as possible to give yourself a chance. I didn't think Buffalo was going to be this good.
I didn't either.
And now they're in the mix, right? Same with Baltimore. Baltimore fell back, obviously losing to the Browns, and so you're encouraged a little bit to do more. I think it's really a four-team race now in the AFC. We pretty much know who is going to win each division, and then we move forward from there. So, I love this because he, and I believe the Chiefs and Ravens will probably meet sometime in January. He was not involved in the first game. Neither was DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
So all those factors. All those factors make it intriguing.
I am really intrigued by the fact, and that was Nate Taylor. He was on the Midday Show earlier. It is really intriguing to me that a 28-year-old wide receiver was available. A guy who has had a 1,000-yard season in his career, a guy who is on an aspiring the contract is over at the end of this year. He also is owed less than $1 million. And all he could generate was a fifth-round pick swap. But that's what it was for that guy. That's what it was. In order to go get Deontay Johnson, you had to give up your fifth-round pick, and you get back a sixth-round pick. So you just move down, and Carolina was willing to eat three out of the $3.7 million that he is owed the rest of the season. Like, something suspicious about that. Because there's a lot of wide receiver needy teams that are out there. Why was Deontay Johnson not more of a wanted commodity? The Ravens are the only team that could use a wide receiver down the stretch. Offense has been top five so far in the National Football League. That was the only team. Now, maybe they just weren't going to trade him in their division. I mean, Tampa Bay could certainly use Deontay Johnson. Don't think they were trading him to Tampa Bay. Also, don't think they were trading him to New Orleans. They could also use some wide receiver help as well, but it is pretty interesting to me that you would think that Deontay, like, if I had set all the information out in front of you, let's say 2 weeks ago, hey, here's a 28-year-old guy who's been pretty productive over the course of his career. Here's a 30-year-old guy who's been pretty productive over the course of his year, and a 32-year-old player. The 28-year-old player got the least amount back in compensation than the other two players. The Chiefs gave up more to go get D-Hop than the Ravens gave up to go get Deontay Johnson. Same thing with Amari Cooper, even though Deontay Johnson is the younger and healthier player of the two. I always say that in college athletics, you will find out how the rest of college football or college basketball feels when your job is open. Who do you hire? When USC was open, they took Oklahoma's coach. When LSU was open, they took Notre Dame's coach. That's how the rest of the country feels about those jobs. Hey, they're pretty good. I'm looking at these situations, and it's just, okay, interesting. Now, when you're, this is the time to assess what your value is. People like me and you, Rob, can throw out what we think guys are worth in a trade. The NFL will ultimately determine what the trade is. And to go get Deontay Johnson, you had to give up 11 spots possibly in the NFL draft. And good teams, most teams were like, nah, we're good. We don't want him.
I think this highlights something that isn't we know as fans and as media members, but we can't see. Because we've seen now a couple players leave the Steelers and no one wants them. And by no one wants them, I mean like they were done. There was a thought that they were a problem in the locker room. There was a thought that, hey, you're not a fit. We don't want you. Like, think about Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool was a productive wide receiver for the Steelers. Like,
no, you're right.
He was a good player.
And to your point, the league knew about Chase Claypool pretty early on and were out pretty early on.
The league knew way ahead of me and you. And like all we had was that little viral clip. Remember that Roethlisberger gets the first down and he's doing a little dance and they can't spike it in time. But the league knew, oh, Tomlin and Co. are out. We're out on Chase Claypool. And you're seeing a lot of the same things here. Because Deontay Johnson, before he went to Carolina, the story was the Steelers didn't want to get him to the Chiefs. It turns out the Chiefs probably didn't want him that bad at all, or didn't want him now knowing the story in Carolina. And when you see the story in Carolina, it all makes more sense. Oh, if Tomlin and Co. can't handle him, we don't want to deal with him. So those red flags that we sometimes make fun of on draft boards, the character concerns, where it's like, oh, he smoked weed, and we all have a hearty laugh about it. Some of those red flags are noticeable because when people leave the Steelers, at least, ain't no one in the league want him afterwards. It's basically you're done.
I want to play what Adam Schefter had to say. There was another wide receiver tidbit today. Stephon Diggs, he is out for the remainder of the season. He tore his ACL on Sunday.
Well, first of all, you hope Stephon Diggs is okay. And I don't know that I've heard the Texans linked to very many wide receivers. I think they still could. Nico Collins is going to be on IR for another week. They still have Tank Dell. They still have Robert Woods. They still have John Mechie. They still have other wide receivers. But you obviously lose a big-time weapon in Stephon Diggs, who was in the last year of his contract. You hope he gets well by the time he becomes a free agent. But obviously a big blow for him having the torn ACL. And the Texans, again, I haven't heard them linked. We kind of knew that this was what it was. You're just waiting for somebody to confirm that he was going to be out for the year. And D'Amico Ryans told reporters, what, 5-10 minutes ago, that he tore his ACL. He's out for the year.
I think this injury is a really good sign of how sometimes your team can have the right amount of talent to win the Super Bowl. I think Houston is really good. Joe Mixon has a lot more left in the tank than I thought he did when he was leaving Cincinnati. They're really good at quarterback. They've had really good running back play so far this season. They had arguably a top five wide receiver room to start the season with Nico Collins, Stephon Diggs, and you also had Tank Dell in that room. I really liked their tight end. They had a good defense. There was a lot of things to be excited about with Houston. Fast forward 2 months of the NFL season. Nico Collins' hamstring is bad. Diggs, your big offseason acquisition, has torn his ACL. And now their offensive line's a little bit leaky here. I'm not ready to fully eliminate Houston from that conversation, but the shine is definitely off of Houston. Houston's not in the same category to me as those other three teams. Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. I know that Baltimore has two losses. I know that they lost to Cleveland. I know they lost to the Raiders. I also know that Buffalo lost on the road earlier this season to Houston, so maybe you still have the Texans ahead of them, but it just goes to show you it's not just who's your quarterback. There's a lot of other things that all have to kind of align itself perfectly in order for you to win a Super Bowl and do something truly special. Houston was one of those teams that was in the mix, but you're not winning the Super Bowl with no Nico Collins unless he gets back and he gets healthy. You're not winning the Super Bowl without your big offseason addition and going out and getting Stephon Diggs. So we'll see what Houston does down the stretch. I'm willing to put Houston in that tier two conversation, at least for me in the AFC. I cannot put them on the same level as those two other teams, not with the injuries that they have taken over the course of the last month or so. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll go through the top stories of the day. Keep it right here. So drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.